Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, a vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew from high school were posting stuff that was factually in error, which they said is exactly the way they wanted to use Facebook. And that's fine for them. And then when I used Facebook the way that I wanted to correct them, they said I was doing it wrong. And didn't like that one bit. I've got a finger for that. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under that name pretty much the hell everywhere. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and I'm an unabashed atheist. I'm giving serious consideration to affiliating myself with various different churches and such for the right price for a week or so at a time. So if you'd like to negotiate that, we can talk about that, of course. Currently this week, starting from the Midwest here in the United States. Good evening, Bridget.
Hi, I'm Bridget Fitch. I was born and raised in the South, came out of the Church of Christ, which is, you know, fundy, and I got better. Right now, I speak out against patriarchy and fundamentalism and spiritual abuse.
Moving towards the east, into Pittsburgh. Good morning, Joey. And you can go ahead and you can take that mute button off whenever you want to.
You would do that to me right then and there, wouldn't you? Good morning, everyone. Hi, my name's Joe. And I'm an alcoholic again.
We've discussed this. Drinking rum before 5 p.m. does not make you an alcoholic. It makes you a pirate.
Arr. Rum, yeah. Really? Really?
It's the best I got. I'm thinking about time. Go ahead.
I was born in Chicago, Illinois, raised in Ohio, to a Roman Catholic family. Grew up mostly non-religious. Went into the military, spent 8 years there. Now I'm living in Pittsburgh as a graphic designer, and I do nothing, so.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Continuing to the east, over into
might be just the drunk.
No. Into the shadow of Doc Hopital. Good morning, Unrenowned Tech.
Good morning. I'm Unrenowned Tech. I am an atheist, and I am not an alcoholic because alcoholics attend meetings. I'm also not wearing any pants, so please don't ask me to step up.
I'm not going to do another one of those up jokes again this week. Thanks. Nothing more? That's it?
Yeah, I'm going for the short and sweet and hanging loose today.
And get yourself back to your drinking. I see that. Continuing.
Oh, this is water. But that is another little thing that people don't know about me. I love pissing off people by pouring alcohol over ice.
Why would that piss somebody off?
You don't hang out in the right bars.
Continuing.
Whatever.
Continuing over to the east and across the pond. Good morning, Chris.
Oh, good morning, Shijin. It's Chris from England. I'm currently based in the north of England. Was raised sort of very loosely Catholic, but it never really took. And I was an atheist pretty much all my life, but never really gave it much thought until the last maybe 4 years when I started noticing how much of an impact religion was having on the world, and decided to start speaking up a bit more.
And finally ending it up south from there through the channel over into France. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name is Joseph Schomburg. I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada, and I moved here around 25 years ago. I was brought up Anglican and didn't see much sense in it. And yeah, like Chris, when I started to see the effects that religion is having on the world, I started doing everything I can to promote critical thought and independent thought, in education especially.
Excellent. So, couple of quick good mornings to folks over in the question and answer system. So if you are watching live, if you would like to take advantage of that, please, by all means, feel free. I'll, of course, be looking through every once in a while for the social stuff and eventually getting rid of it so that we can keep the questions in there. But don't worry, I'll keep stuff in there as long as I can. Make it easy.
Good morning, Dune.
Pardon?
Beth's handle, Dune.
Ah, well, there you go. So, good morning, Beth. Thank you very much. And Katie, hi. Joey knows what I'm doing over here. I'm feeling like Peanut right about hi. Some people know Peanut.
And there was a comment before the show even started. Happy birthday, Jess.
Yes. Jesse, you, yay. And it appropriately should be Josh. So, yes, I know, hon. I know. It's just the way the G+ has got it right now. It's going to be easier to remember when it changes. It's okay, though. You are who you are.
I screwed up, didn't I?
Well, you know, it's easy enough, too. Because, well, it's G+. It's kind of stupid that way. It doesn't.
I remember faces better than I remember names.
It's okay. I don't think that there'll be any real problem or ramification, so it's quite all right.
Anyway. Will there be any spankings?
Not on camera. Real quick, to let everybody know, we may be joined by Mr. Foda again, which would make actually an historic moment, because we have not had a repeat customer on the show yet, which would mean that, considering our topic tonight, wow, irony abounds.
One can only imagine why.
Probably because he wants to get even at me, considering what I almost did to him last week. Almost made him swallow his vape. But in order to figure that one out, you'll have to watch last week's show. But we will come back to that in a couple of moments. Anyway.
Maybe it will be graced by a photobomb.
We might at that. However, getting started, of course, as usual, with apologies to Noah Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist. 5 minutes on the clock starts now. I didn't know what I was going to talk about through the week. I figured I'd come up with something, and then now we're 10 minutes before the show, 5 minutes before the show. I'm not quite really sure what to do. I went and I got myself a drinky-poo to drink tonight, and I still didn't know what the hell I was going to do. So I'm outside the office, and I'm looking around, and I'm trying to get some inspiration. And not 5 minutes, not 2 minutes before the show, and I'm just like, I got to talk about something. What the hell am I going to talk about? And I thought, you know what? I got a piece. And it kind of ties into my recharge weekend, which is Anthrocon. Yeah, I'm mentioning it only because it's a pushpin to give everybody an idea as to where this kind of stems from. A couple years ago, a bunch of us who are denizens, I guess is the best way of putting it, of Second Life, had gotten together at Anthrocon. A bunch of us happened to be there at the same time, which was great, because it's like, you know, family of choice got together for the first time, and it was great. It was great. And for those that are listening to the podcast version, unfortunately, you're not going to have a image to go off of, but I'm going to do this. Years ago, I had purchased the camera that, if you're watching the video, you'll see it from over there. And please forgive me while I move my microphone over a little bit. It may make a little bit of noise. I'm sorry if it did. But the camera that I've got was actually pretty damn impressive at the time, 10 years ago. It's a Canon 30D digital SLR. And it comes with just this bottom part that right here. And I got it with the extra flash, and it all fits together, which is nice. And since I started taking photos kind of semi-professional, I guess is the best way to put it, I invested, if you will, in a $35 hunk of metal that is this bracket that connects the bottom of the camera to the bottom of the flash. It's kind of cool because, you know, I can hold it by that grip on that thing. The top of it flips over and whatnot, and I've got a little coily thing to connect the flash to the camera. And why am I telling you all this? So I could tell you that the bracket, $35. It's black aluminum, black colored aluminum. It's two pieces, got a hinge, no big thing. And again, the most important part was the coiled wire, which connects the flash to the camera so that the camera can still control the flash no matter where it is, which is good. But we got together a couple years ago, like I said, at Anthroconum. We're in the bar, and one of the most amazing things happened to me at the time. I had somebody who I can only assume was a normie, meaning somebody who was not there for the con, with, you know, all the furries and such, and was dressed pretty nicely. And she asked me, young lady, what magazine are you shooting for? And I was kind of taken aback. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you've got that great camera, and you've got the thing. It looks all professional and whatnot. What magazine are you shooting for? And I thought about it for a minute, and I'm just like, it's just a minor investment of money, really. The cable costs like three times the cost of the bracket. But she was intentionally pointing out that this looked like a really professional rig. Okay, you know, the camera's pretty up there. And the flash is, you know, fairly sizable. But this $35 hunk of metal suddenly turned me from being a, you've got too much time and money on your hands, to, you should be doing this and getting paid for it. So who's paying you? What's your angle? What are you doing here? I really had to think about that. Because as funny as it was, as cool as it was to be, have people think that, you know, I was a bigger thing than I was, I really realized that the expression about assuming things is subtle. You can look at something and not really understand what it is, and then suddenly, you've made an entire jump with good reason, but with a bad outcome that isn't borne out anywhere. And all I could say was, thank you, but I'm not the guy that you're thinking I am. It's easy to make those jumps. Be conscious when you do. Thanks for joining us, everyone. This is episode 73, the title of You Believe What? And yeah, I know normally my openings tend to be a little bit more heartfelt, but I was really giving serious consideration to blowing out all over, if you will, on Donald Trump or the incredible craziness that is the yelling and screaming about gun control and who's getting shot where, but really,
the crap about Planned Parenthood and now some of the senators and politicians are realizing, oh, that was crap.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things that I could have talked on. I really didn't want to do that. I really, really, really didn't want to, at least not yet. I will be hitting on Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. I mean, let's face it. My nickname is Tribble. Really, looking at the top of this guy every opportunity you can, are you really, really not believing that I'm going to go ahead and make some kind of a hairpiece joke about the bad side of the family donating their loose hair to him? Come on, really? You think I can pass that up? Nah, I'm not going to pass that opportunity up later. You guys can smile at that whenever you feel like it. Thanks. Thanks so much. Make me feel better about myself. That's nice. So we're going to end up talking about delusions, what they are, what we've had, why they're so pernicious. I guess probably the right word for it, but you know, we'll get around to that momentarily. Dallin is still working and traveling. I don't expect that he's going to be on. Heretic Woman said that she's probably going to be out drinking.
You know what? Fine. That's perfectly fine. So long as you get home safe, that's all I care about, hon.
We may be joined by Dave Foda a little bit later. The invite is out to him, but we'll see how that plays out. But we'll get around to all that. As of the recording of the show, at this point, to the best of my knowledge, Reef Badawi has not yet been released to Canada. So unless my information has changed at this point, and I don't know about it, as of the recording of the show, it is now 3 years, 1 month, 9 days since Reef Badawi was unjustly incarcerated for thought crime, and we're still hoping for you to get back. And of course, a quick hello to five of the countries that have been paying attention to us. In this case, that would be, first off, Libya. Medhaba, if memory serves, to the Czech Republic, ahoy. Belgium, hello. Nigeria, hello. And Australia, sorry. Australia, g'day. I know. It's a New Zealand accent. I'm sorry. I've only got like three accents that I do anything worthwhile. And I've been hearing way too much about Almish Wolverine in the news, and I really don't want to be dealing with it. See, I got it up early inside the first hour. That's good. It's good to go.
By the way, if you haven't already tried it out, Google Translate on your cell phone. You can actually speak into it, and it will, in with about a 1 or 2 second delay, translate through the external speaker of your phone. So if you want to give that a shot sometime, you know, just hold the phone up to the microphone.
It kind of loses the human touch and the comedy value.
Well, when you're like me and you have a very hard time being able to manipulate the parts of your mouth that's necessary to form certain foreign words, it's very helpful.
I've got a joke I really, really, really shouldn't make right now. I really shouldn't, but it's
so... Go ahead, Chijin.
I can't. I can't.
Dude, I'm a walking target, man. Go ahead. You know I can take a shot as well as I can deliver.
Fine. Then now I understand why you're not with anybody. Okay, that's fine. That's
how you have to know. I finally got away. Ouch.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for somebody to develop the artificial intelligence from the movie Her, and then at least at that point I might get a date, although my phone might end up shooting itself if that happened.
You could talk to Dave Mills. I'll give you details later.
I prefer to talk to a woman.
Well, he's an unabashed Real Dolls fan. I don't know if you know what those are or not, but I can send you links of stories that people have done on him.
We can save that for the next Power of 10, and we'll talk about sex. How's that?
I didn't use any bad words.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we're going to
keep it that way.
And the night's still young.
Yes, it is. And so is my coffee. That's a... I'm sorry, that was probably disgusting. Dallin, yeah, edit that out for me, would you? Thanks. Appreciate that. He'll fix it in post. So we're going to talk about delusions. And there was a little bit of a question mark as far as to how I was meaning it. So let me just make sure that we've got a quick clarification on it for everybody. In this case, as far as delusions are concerned, I'm going much more technical, meaning something that we believe, anyone believes, even though there's nothing that is positively stating that it is something worth believing in, and even that there is stuff that directly contradicts believing in something. Now, for instance, somebody went ahead and told you the sky is purple. You can look up there and you can see that there's a layer of gray clouds. You could get away with saying, actually, right now the sky is gray or ivory, bone, ecru, llama. I don't know, whatever color you want to go
by. Fine. We all understand that you've actually gone to the paint section of Home Depot.
Actually, I'm thinking back on my Stitch and Bitch parties in college for cross-stitch, but be that as it may. Yeah, I'll probably go with we'll go with the paint thing, because that sounds much more butch, I guess. Dallin, could you fix that one for me, too? Thanks, appreciate that.
So cross-stitch is a prelude to cross-fit. So once you've finished the stitch, then you go into cross-fit to see if you can wear it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
I'm sorry. Voices in my head said it was funny.
Yeah, Dallin, if you could just plug in some crickets there, that would be great.
We appreciate it. All right, so...
That's entirely doable.
It is. Since he's our audio bitch at this point, that's what happens. All right, so...
There he goes. He's Joseph just added the sound effects system.
So there are a lot of delusions that we've had over the years growing up. And there are ways that we can look at it as adults and understand what it is and how much harm there actually is to it. There's two that I can think of from most people's youth.
Santa Claus?
Most people's youth. That qualify in this case. In this case, yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind. Santa. It's pretty harmless.
Yeah, but you see.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Santa Claus is actually based on something that somebody actually did. You know, it can be traced back to the actions of a person. And the story developed out of it. Okay. There was no flying reindeer in the back of a sleigh and everything else. That was just basically turning a nice story into a tall tale.
Or in this case, a myth, I believe, would be more accurate.
It's a mix of about six different myths, but anyways.
Yeah.
But that's why it's lived on for so long, too, is the tallness of it.
That could be. All right. So before we get on too much further than this, I want to go ahead and, as I had mentioned earlier, yes, it is finally an historic event for us. So, mystery caller, for the people who are listening who can't see, would you sign in, please?
We've been photobombed.
By the way, Beth, they can pick on me all they want. That's one of the reasons why they keep me around.
So, good evening, Mr. Foda, or good morning.
Joseph stole my joke.
I know, I made it before you did. Okay, anyways.
So, wait a minute. Obviously, this is a first on your show.
That
Foda is a repeat guest on show.
Well, you know, we haven't had illusions back ever since the first visit, so, you know, yeah, you're kind of first.
Usually once is enough.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Scared you off.
Let me say this. I know that Holy Crap has been on for a while, and it has evolved and it has matured. And I like the things that I'm seeing now, and it doesn't hurt that I got in a fight tonight with somebody and I'm pissed off and I want to vent.
That's what ventrilo is for.
So then this will be your big opportunity, in which case I will go ahead and, first off, thank you for coming back. Obviously you need to really reevaluate your evenings and your drinking habits, and
No, hold on.
Okay.
I don't need to reevaluate my drinking habits.
Your allocution lessons, however, you could probably go ahead and change those up. What I was going to suggest.
You're getting porky pig tonight. Yeah.
It's fine. What I was going to say was it's nice to have both you and your forehead back with us. So thanks, I appreciate that.
You are quite welcome.
Why don't you just present the forehead?
I would really like to say that I appreciate you adjusting your lighting around your workspace there, so that way we didn't get the reflection off your receding hairline blinding us.
Believe it or not, this is actually not a receding hairline.
No, it's
so the hairline's actually just growing.
It's been like this since I was a teenager.
Yeah, today's topic is teenagers.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was completely because of what ended up happening last week, and it just worked out well because I couldn't think of anything else, and I was actually working on. I was hoping it was just going to be just a joke, and you know what? It just turned out well. So yeah, the first one up, like I was saying, Santa is. It may be a tall tale, it may be a myth, it may be an urban legend. Regardless of what the technicalities are to it, it is the story as typically told for kids at this point especially. It is a delusion because there isn't anything real behind it. And we hold on to it. And it's when we get into a little bit older, when we're kind of... I'm pretty sure that it's really not real. I found the Norman Rockwell picture. I found the suit. It's in the drawer, in the closet. It's got to be my parents, but it can't be.
Santa's in the closet?
It might as well be. There's a song about Mommy was kissing Santa Claus. There's also one of Daddy was kissing Santa Claus. I don't know. It could go. That's a whole other thing for later. But we hold on to these things. And there's a second one that I was thinking of the Tooth Fairy. Again, we get a little bit older, and we kind of want to hold on to it a little bit longer. We really don't want to disbelieve, and it hurts when we have to bring it all together and say, yeah, okay, but you lied to me. That hurt.
My son was, when I broke the news of Santa to him, he was actually, he entered a depressed state. He was very upset. And I didn't break it to him in a way to punish him or to make him question himself. The way I explained it was that, you know, it was a tradition. A tradition of giving the children a boost to their imagination, a sense of magic in the world, and hope, and joy. And that as a parent, one of the things that I get out of it is the resurgence of my own memories of those same times, and done through his reactions to opening presents and things like that. And that if he ever has children of his own, to be gentle, to do, if he chooses to play Santa and keep the story going, to do it with love, caring, and understanding that they're going to find out, whether on their own or through somebody else or yourself, that it's just a story. To remember to break it to them with love so that they understand that you never did it to embarrass them.
Yeah, can I throw something in here? I think that Tech has a very important point here. When we look back on this and we recognize what is actually going on, that we are technically lying to these kids. And I'm guilty of this too. I've got a lot of young kids in my family.
Yep.
And I promote the myth. But when we're doing this, we're not lying to these kids with the expectation that these kids are not going to find out the truth. And we see it as we're lying to the kids, but when the kids are discovering this for themselves, they're thinking to themselves, I just achieved something because I discovered something secret. that people were hiding from me. So in essence, it's kind of, they're coming into their own. You know, they're learning that they are mentally capable of surviving in the world. And I know that's a bad way to put it, but we don't give the kids enough credit.
Well, one of the things that my son relayed to me after the epiphany, that's what I call the moment. After the mild depression, it lasted probably about an hour or two, lifted, and he really thought about it. He informed me, and I'm not quoting because it would take too long, that he appreciated the fact that so many people in his life, because I was playing the role of Santa, and Grandma and Grandpa were playing the role of Santa, his aunt and uncle were playing the role of Santa, that these people listened to his desires, could do what they could do within certain limitations to bring forth these dreams to make him happy, to make him feel good, and he truly appreciated every moment of all those Christmases that have gone past. And even though none of the presents anymore say from Santa Claus, he still shows that same joy, that still same appreciation and everything else. So even though the epiphany happened, it did not spoil the Christmas for him.
I think that's because he knew that he was loved and he was respected.
Yeah, wouldn't you get more pleasure out of getting a present from another human than some mystical being?
No, because
he knows who to thank.
It's magical.
Just writing a generic letter.
Bridget.
Yes.
Yeah, part of that kind of cut you off a little bit. Finished out what that was again?
I was going to say no, because to small children it's very magical, and they're trying to figure out how did Santa get in through the chimney, or how did he get in without a chimney, or, you know, who ate the cookies, or whatever.
My son was trying to figure out the physics of Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
And
kids will rationalize this on their own. One of my nephews, because he understood that because his parents didn't actually have a working fireplace in the house, they had a gas fireplace, and it's impossible for Santa to come in through a gas vent, he reasoned for himself that there was a trap door in the roof that only Santa had a key for the padlock. That's how Santa got into the house.
That's pretty nifty.
So the kids will make an attempt to understand and to rationalize this as best they can, given the information that they have available to them.
But that's a kid who already knows how to rationalize. I mean, look what you're doing here. You're like plonking something down in front of the kid. Like, okay, this mystical, you're telling them the story. This mystical creature brings you presents. And like how the kids deal with it, how it affects them, and all that—that's pretty important. Because I mean, you know, context is everything. When they're kids, you know, telling them stuff like this. Okay, personally, I think it's damaging because it installs certain tools into the learning thought process. I mean, that mystical creatures exist. In reality, I don't think that's very good for a growing mind, but it's when it stops.
Can I kind of say the opposite side of the coin on that? My son pulled from that experience the concept of unless you can prove if everybody says no, this can't happen. No, this can't happen. No, this can't happen. Well, have you tested it? Have you proven that it cannot happen? He's actually taken the concept, the scientific, the same concept that scientists use of, okay, you know, can we get a rocket into space on a stream of photons? Well, we haven't created one. We don't know if it can happen or not. Let's try. And so he, during the times of trying to figure out how Santa got into the house, he was already practicing that kind of concept. And that thought process, that ability to think of alternate solutions that people have not considered has actually stuck with him.
All right, but before you pass that though, Joseph, I want you to finish out how you were thinking about this, because there's a piece that I would like to chime in on that. So go ahead and finish that one up. How you were saying that it's kind of damaging, in a way, sort of.
Well, oh yeah. Well, in different ways, because basically you're teaching them that. Well, you're teaching them the truth that not everything adults say to you is true. And
that's not damaging. That's truth.
Well, that's helpful, but it's kind of disappointing that your parents do that to you. But
wouldn't it make more sense for your parents to do that to you early on as a form of coaching you so that you
why
can...
Why don't they just tell you instead of...
That doesn't always work, Joseph. I have an aunt who did this with her child. She never lied to her about Santa, ever, and was determined to teach her the truth. But when her daughter was in kindergarten, they took a field trip to the mall, and she saw Santa for herself and accused her mother of lying to her.
That's just pressure. I mean, that's just bowing to the status quo. That's... appeal
to public. But he was so mad and said, he's real because I saw him.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that with this ability to create within a child the concept of things can happen and we don't understand it, but we can try to figure out whether it's something that's happening in reality or whether it's just something we're coming up with as a story, is important. That way they can look at things and go, I remember when they told me about Santa Claus, and then I remember about learning about the truth. Now I'm presented with this new dilemma. Is this just a story or is this the truth? Now I have reasoning skills and I can hear things and go, okay, this sounds very incredulous, just like Santa did. Maybe this is not the truth. Let me investigate this for myself. More. Let me reason this out. Let me see what has to be attributed to magic versus what can be attributed to physics or science or things like that. And my son does things like that. Even though he knows that Santa's not real, even though, you know, carried from that epiphany, as I was saying before. Okay, so now, while some children may be damaged from it, not all. Not all.
Yeah, but that's a they have to have the prerequisite of being able to think already for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. If a child is not allowed to think for themselves, telling them a story of Santa would probably be damaging as all hell.
All right. Now, here's the piece about it that I'm just kind of realizing. Giving children, newborns and toddlers and youngsters, the concept and the story, the fake reality, what it is, of Santa.
It's giving them God with proof, actually, because the proof is that the fact that they get things from this mystical thing. It's
No. That is not proof. That is justified true belief.
Yes.
Now, that's very different from proof.
Look right in there. The context of the context is everything. So look at it from a kid's point of view, everything is magical.
And in context, it is still justified true belief. What you're talking about, the proof of Santa or the proof of God, is a Gettier problem. It is not justified true belief.
Right. Now, there's a couple pieces about this. What we were going to do, myself and my wife, we had gotten a set of boots for my wife so that she could make hoof prints in the snow, and we were going to set it up so that it would look like there was a sled that came through and then came back out on the driveway as one more piece of all of that. Now, is it
unintended? It sounds like playing a practical joke on somebody.
Yes, which is effectively what it turns into as time goes on. But what I've suddenly realized a couple of moments ago is what we are doing with the Santa myth and the Easter Bunny myth and the Tooth Fairy myth is we're throwing children into the water blind and waiting for them to swim in a safe way. We're throwing them into the
water. Dude, that is fucking brilliant. I love that. And you know what? I'm actually going to quote you on that.
Thank you.
That was awesome. That's fucking awesome.
The other thing is how many of you guys on the panel here have ever, as a child, role-played the concept of Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or pretended to be the Easter Bunny? And the reason why I bring this up is because I actually pretended as a child to be, you know, the Easter Bunny and hopping around and hiding the eggs and stuff like that. And the reason why I bring this up is because there was a study done. There was a post, an article posted about a study showing that children who were more likely to pretend to be different things ended up growing up into adults who later on shrugged off religious concepts or dogmas because they understood the concept of pretend rather than reality.
Yeah. And many kids
my son's creativity level has never been higher ever since then.
Okay. Just, well, you can't say role-playing and Santa to me without trying to probe my sexual life. So
there's the photo bomb.
We'll say that. I mean, that would be a topic for a whole other show.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll I'd like to go back to this throwing a kid in the water and getting himself to see if he swims or not. Okay, I would only do that with the prerequisite that I taught the kid how to swim first.
Okay, what I wanted to make sure is that we understood that I'm speaking metaphorically, not literally. I want everybody to make sure that we understand that. Just be safe. But you're quite right that, yeah, it would be probably better. But the thing with the thing that happens with Christmas, especially, is you've got all the trappings, and then the next day suddenly there are all the gifts, which is not very different from what we do with birthdays. Typically, you go somewhere, or you have your party at home. There are no gifts, and then suddenly gifts that you've brought. The only difference is you've added an extra layer at this point, and children will eventually figure it out for themselves one way or another, or have it explained to them by others of their peers that have had it figured out for them one way or another. And they end up learning.
There you have a point, because you know, when does it, like, again, I'm going back to context. Context is everything, but when does it stop being a myth, and when does it start being delusion? Because for kids, they eventually learn.
Well, so I think Santa is not really delusion. I think it's more myth because it is based on a real person. Now, he wasn't magical, but you know, St. Nicholas did exist.
It's a delusion if an adult still believes it.
Well, yeah, but I don't know any adults who still believe it.
See, that's the thing. With Santa Claus, with the Tooth Fairy and with the Easter Bunny, these are things that children eventually grow out of, and most, and what I refer to as responsible parents eventually encourage the growth out of, if they have not, in their parents' opinion, grown out of, you know, if they've reached a point in life where, okay, they should have grown out of it by now, why haven't they? And they try to take action to help them grow out of it.
Because to get something out of it?
If you have a parent who is using those myths to control their children, to control their behavior, and like, because Beth makes a good point in the question and answer section. She says, what is being left out is the rationale behind a parent's actions, the why of it. And Joe touched on it, and Foda, and a whole bunch of people panel touched on it. And yeah, there are some parents who use that stuff to try to control their kids throughout the entire year until the Christmas season comes.
Yeah, that's elf the shelf elf.
Yeah, that's sick. That is fucking... Excuse me.
Yeah, I never did that with my son. I never controlled him. The only time I used it as a means of control was the Christmas Eve when I was trying to get the guy into bed. I was like, dude, you got to go to sleep. And what I really wanted to tell him was, is like, dude, you got to go to sleep so I can get the damn presents out of the closet and put them under the tree without you catching me. But other than that, I didn't
you know what?
Control
him. Tech, I just hear you saying, go the fuck to sleep in Samuel Jackson's voice.
No, you can't have another glass of water.
One new tradition that I really despise is Elf on a Shelf. I hate that.
It is creepy.
Well, that's somebody being wacky. That has nothing to do with the myth of Santa.
Yes, it does. Elf on a Shelf spies for Santa, and he watches you all the time. That's crazy.
Hold on. Yeah. I've got some experience. I've got some experience with this going back 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The question was raised in my local atheist organization about the Elf on the Shelf, and at the time, I felt it was way over the top. I still think it's way over the top.
Wait a minute, time out. How do you mean over the top in what way?
In the fact that it is a control mechanism.
Okay.
However, there is a new iteration of the Shelf Elf.
Uh-oh.
What, no? It's not actually a bad thing. This is just the one who is maybe 7 inches tall. His body is made of felt. He has pillowing, and he just kind of moves around the house. The biggest thing about the Elf on the Shelf is how the parents approach the elf. If the parents approach the elf as a control mechanism, then the kids are fucked. If the parents approach the elf as a fun little tradition, then the kids are going to enjoy it, and they're going to get as much out of it, as much as when they come down the stairs on Christmas morning and discover that there is a little bit of residue of milk in the glass and cookie crumbs on the plate. It all has to do with how the adults approach the Christmas season.
Yeah, now before...
So in other words, what you're saying...
Hold on. Tech, hold on a second here, because there's a piece that's really, really super important from my experience that I think needs to go into this at this point. The Elf on the Shelf, if treated as a control device for a youngster, is of a creepy enough level for those that remember the original version of the Poltergeist movie will remember the creepy-ass doll. The point being,
yes. Jonathan Coulton wrote a song about the doll.
Yes, the childlike mind will use that control mechanism and the what's the name of that thing where something looks just real enough but not quite unreal
doll thing. It's the uncanny valley.
Uncanny valley.
When dolls look so lifelike, but they're still. There's just enough for you to recognize that it is not a person, and it makes you completely flip your shit.
We're starting to talk about my sexual partners, and that's not cool.
Okay, fine. Then leave it. All right, fine. We will leave the goats out of this all. Sticking with just the elves. But the children, as far as to the idea of being really, really bad for a developing psyche. We know full well from our own experiences and what we've seen from others, kids will have an incredible subconscious when they're asleep. It is far too easy for them to have nightmares when nothing bad has really happened throughout the day, and you throw this level of creepiness at them. I think that would really be not good in the long run. Now,
wait, but why does the shelf elf have to be creepy?
I'm saying if it's being used as the control device, adding on to the idea that is semi-sentient, it apparently from day to day or hour to hour when it's not being seen moves around, seems to have its own automation, that can then be utilized as a, well, here he is over here, he's watching over you from over there. Oh, he's not over there. Oh, he's over in the bathroom watching over.
But what we're talking about here is the adult view of how the shelf elf affects the kids rather than the kid's viewpoint about, okay, there's unicorns and rainbows and this magical thing moving around and he's a lot of fun.
Okay, whose sexual past are we talking about at this point? Because now I think you're going to the bottom.
Well, one of the things,
you know what? I think I deserve that.
One of the things I can relate to in terms of the shelf, elf on a shelf, is I never owned one, number one.
Good.
But I do have technology in my house, and I'm very technologically savvy.
Oh, so, one so of the tech my has son the hologram version of the elf on the shelf.
So what I had was the technical version of the elf on the shelf. Is I had the NORAD app that tracks Santa Claus, because if anybody remembers NORAD, somebody published a number in a newspaper. It was supposed to be able to call and talk to Santa, and they published the numbers wrong, and they ended up calling NORAD, and the person at NORAD said, oh, no, but we can track Santa Claus. Well, they made an app for that, and so what I used to do is I used to use that app to get my son to go to sleep by saying, hey, look, he's in the United States, and look, he's stopping in Maryland soon. You better hit the hay before he flies over our house and misses us because you're still awake. And so then he would run off to bed, and that was it. You know, I could put the presents out and things like that. So if somebody used the shelf elf like that with hey, this elf doesn't actually move around or anything, but he does relate to Santa when you go to sleep, and that's the only reason we bring him out is so that Santa knows it's safe to come in, that you're sleeping, and he can put the presents under the tree. I don't see that as being a bad thing. But, yeah, taking it to the level that Sujin was talking about, that's just freaking creepy as hell, and you're going to traumatize your child to death.
And will a kid rationalize like that? Will he? I mean, we can look at it from our point of view, but what is the kid thinking? I mean, really. And he's at that age, he's prone to listening to authority figures, and he's learned to fear authority figures. And a big reason for a lot of his nightmares is that he's trying to adapt to a world that's still new to him. So you introduce this creepy element. Look at it from his point of view, is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
let me just say this, and we probably need to get off Santa because Santa doesn't have anything to do with why we believe what we believe. But Ted brought up an interesting.
This has been a really good play on why adults introduce these concepts to children. But these are concepts that children grow out of, and we haven't touched on the concepts like religion.
Right. Hold on. Time. Yes, we do need to move on with this. Dave, I'm going to give you the last word on this one because...
May I jump in with a last word? It is relating to moving on.
Okay. Santa
does actually have an impact on why I have the beliefs I did. Because, and this sort of ties into a question Beth was asking right there, because the version of the Santa myth that I heard included references to versions of, like, if you're a bad kid, he'll, like, leave a stick to beat the kids with on there. This was, like, never anything serious, and I don't think it was from my own parents I heard this. But it was sort of around... on there. And then, so I grew out of the Santa myth, as kids do, and started going to Catholic Church and hearing the stories about Jesus and how he's going to send nice people to heaven and send naughty people to hell and all the rest, and I just immediately thought, oh, this is Santa Claus to grown-ups.
Okay. All right, Dave.
Dismissed it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, there you go. All right, Dave, really fast to finish you out, and then we'll wrap that.
Right. The thing that I wanted to point out and what Tech brought up is that is that the whole NORAD Santa idea is just an extension of the fantasy. It's fun. It's not something that anyone takes seriously. At least reasonable people don't take this seriously. And it's something that I have used with my nieces and nephews. And when they look at the Santa tracker on my phone, what they're seeing is a digital display on my phone. But it does not translate to a magical guy who's flying around in the sky. Kind of like God.
What? But doesn't it in the kid's mind?
No, it doesn't. Because
so
what?
Why are you showing?
Because what they are focused on is something that results in a real, tangible world under the Christmas tree.
That's the proof I was talking about.
Or it could be viewed as just a timer, if you will. Which, Dave, I think that's
precisely what it is.
Will they see it like that? See, I kind of see adding this to, you know, it's kind of like how theists try to use science to explain the Bible, you know? It's kind of, we're just adding.
Well, now see, now you're leading the bit, which is perfectly fine. Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands at this point, yeah, we did lay a long time on this particular topic, this particular subject for couple of good reasons. One, we didn't have Heretic Woman with us to go ahead and start laughing and get me off track over here. Which
Jesus Christ, I wish she wasn't here now.
Yeah.
So she's finally with us back at High On.
Hello.
So bitch stole my fish.
Okay. So from
fish.
I need a fish.
Let me go ahead and get this official and done. So from over the border into Ontario, Canada, Heretic Woman is finally joining us back. You're done with your drinking now for now?
No, but I'm home.
Fair enough.
I'm done. My bottle's empty, but my cup's not.
Oh, see, I was drinking booze somewhere else, so I just started on my bottle, so we're good.
Which bottle? Is it the one with the tip?
No, that's a later. I'll leave it off camera.
Okay, do we need to return this to PG rating?
We've already kind of temporarily blown past, but you know what? We're not going to make it any worse than what it is already.
Right, now. Nothing mommy and daddy wouldn't say.
Okay, so why did I allow us to talk much more on Santa than what other people would have thought? Because it's a point that we, generally speaking, with a few exceptions, we can all reference for ourselves in our history, whether from having been subjected to it, and I'm going to use that term right now, or subjecting others to. Some of us have had kids. Some of us have had to interact with kids. Most of us have been on the receiving end of the Santa myth. Now, with that in place, the point of it is we've gone through it and for the most part have come through relatively unscathed or, in some cases, better for it, as Tex Kid has mentioned. Now, here's the thing. Delusion is where you continue to accept a wrong proposition even though you now have information, evidence, proof that what you're believing in is wrong. We kind of talked about this last week when we were going through the stuff for various apologetics. So it's probably going to end up that we're going to lay onto that a couple of times over ourselves anyway. So, Joey, I want to hit you for a second because you've not had an opportunity of really talking through, and I want to make sure that we deal with stuff over here for you also. You've dealt with stuff whereby you've understood a lot of military history, where you know full well there are times where people have said, I believe this can be done. I can't tell you that you're full of crap because I'm not allowed to in my position, but I know that you're wrong, and I know that you know that you're wrong. You've seen this happen on multiple occasions, I'm certain.
Well, let's see. Napoleon, Hitler. Let's face it, you just don't invade Russia in the winter unless...
Unless you're Napoleon.
You are the Mongols.
The Mongols, yes.
Of course, you would have
to. Cue the Mongoltage.
John Green, thank you very much for not suing us. We appreciate that. Was it Hank? I don't. You know what? Both of you.
No, guys. No. Thanks. John did history. Hank did sciences.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So we've seen that, but now comes the fun part. Heretic woman.
Yes.
You had Barbie. You remember Barbie from a couple of weeks ago?
She
had her own delusion about that's not the Bible, right?
Exactly. We were just talking about her at the pub night, actually.
Oh, please tell me she was there again.
No. Unfortunately, no. She lives like an hour away. She just happened to be at our pub thing for she was visiting people, whatever. But yeah, she was delusional, all right.
But in this particular case, the delusion.
Can you get me her phone number?
Greg wants it first. I'm sorry. You two will have to fight over it.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to have happen. Okay, so kind of give the real quick summary. What was it that she was believing that you were able to go, hon, no?
Greg, my friend here, he had presented one of the Bible verses. I think it was the one, blessed are they that bash babies' heads against rocks or whatnot. And there's different explanations for why that may or may not be a bad thing, which I'm like, you have to explain that that's not a bad thing, but whatever. And of course she did the old, what, that's not in the Bible. And like, she was presented with like three smartphones within, you know, 10 seconds, like, here it is, lady. So, and of course my meme that afternoon was, don't tell an atheist with a smartphone and an internet connection that that's not in the Bible.
See, this is about the point where I think that we should probably get paid for putting in a thing for the Skeptic's Annotated Bible.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the guys wouldn't pay us, although I'm certain it's probably a really good piece that we could go ahead and do for them. I'm sure that there is something that I'm missing at the moment, but for whatever reason, I'm blanking. Who wants to go ahead and throw? Dave, you've already got one in the pocket with Mr. the Slick. We can get to that later. Who?
Oh God, that again.
Well, you've
Let's not do that.
Well, only in so much as that you've had direct experience with somebody also. For the most part, I don't think that we really have too much of a day-to-day thing where we have to deal with someone that's got a delusion that we could just go ahead and, you know, hold up a piece of paper or anything and just say, look, you're wrong, generally speaking.
You know what? I disagree with that statement, and I'm going to call out my politics here.
The GOP!
My mother has always been a liberal in contrast to most of her family. My mother was a bleeding heart, basically. She went into social work in nursing homes, in child and child protective services and other things like this. And now that she is retired, all of a sudden she thinks that her insurance and her retirement are at risk. And she is very quickly transitioning from a liberal voter to a conservative voter.
That's a good way to get rid of all your insurance.
Yes, it is. And And, you know, with her, it is, she is doubling down on her fear, which is basically what we're talking about here on the entire show. We're doubling down on the fear. Why do we believe what we believe? It's because the alternative is scary. My mother thinks that she is going to lose all of her retirement, all of her insurance, and all of the rather wealthy estate proportion that she gets from my grandfather. But that's not true. It's just not true.
Yeah. Sorry to hit you on this one, but I want to make sure that I get this over here, because Beth has got something that I want to kind of lead over into to kind of help along with this one also. Beth had put in the Q&A, think Chris hit a point, Jesus equals Santa for grown-ups. And I'm please forgive me for correcting the spelling that you dropped over there. Again, when I read off the stuff on the Q&A, I always try to read it as written, with as little or no changeover with it as possible. Forgive me, there was a spelling mistake. I corrected that. So just fair warning, so that you know everybody understands. There was Chris. I'm hitting you back because you had sent me over a link earlier from a TED Talk that had a really great piece of insight on this also. That was a question that was asked right from the get-go.
Okay, the TED Talk I watched earlier and linked to Shujin was, and I forget the lady's name, but it was about being wrong. And how in and this does link back to the Santa thing, unfortunately. So sorry about that, Shujin. But she made the point in society and from a very, very early age through the way like school tests are marked and things, there's a great importance placed on being right, and people who are wrong, it's very easy to think of people who are wrong as sort of either ignorant or stupid or malicious on there, and these are not necessarily the case. On there, one of the things about the Santa thing is one of the examples is kids often get a really good feelings from discovering that, you know, the they were wrong and they found the truth on there, you know, when they discover the mythology, you know, the myth behind it. And that's something that I think is of real value, learning to accept that you have been wrong or you are wrong, and that it's a positive thing. You can now move on to be right and learn something better. I think that the word delusions come in is where there is sufficient information and evidence available and presented that a reasonable person would be expected to realize that they've been wrong, but they don't. They hold on to it. Or they've come up with something with no evidence that a reasonable person would follow. And I've dealt with people worked with people who thought they were psychic and could talk to the dead. I really, like, as far as I can tell, genuinely believe this. They weren't sort of making any sort of money out of it. They'd had this taught to them by members of their family, and it was a tradition and things. And if you listen to people with that kind of belief system, they're absolutely concrete in it. But it is. But it makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah. Now I'm going to make sure that the link to that particular TED Talk is in the notes for the episode. So, I'll just track that down and make sure that's in there for you. And I'm sure Dallin will make sure that's encoded into the podcast stream also for everybody to look over. To that end, Bridget, I'm thinking of one particular pastor who's got himself a show out of New York City who is absolutely certain he knows exactly what goes into those lattes every damn time, and he is a perfect prime example of somebody who should know better and would probably feel really bad if he felt otherwise.
So my question is...
He might feel very relieved that he could start drinking coffee at Starbucks again.
Yeah, there's that. So Bridget, my question...
Not depending on his tastes.
Yeah. Wait, before Bridget chimes in with anything here, can I just say that the Starbucks facility that Manning was talking about is just around the corner from the bowling alley that he was also talking about in the same fucking video.
So, oh, and if you guys want some fun stuff to do with Manning, the recent Cognitive Dissonance episode has a new clip that I highly recommend everyone check out when you have a chance.
A very long one, but Bridge, yeah. So here's my question. Now that we've gone ahead and we've spilled the everything as far as to who it is and everything, my question for you is, how much are you willing to pay for a grande latte?
I'm cheap. I don't buy them.
It depends on who squeezes it out.
Yeah. Is there a happy ending?
If it's Ron Jeremy, she might be.
I mean, I do, you know, follow a low carb, high protein diet, but still.
Good night, everybody.
Do I need to get the water bottle out now?
No.
Sorry. No,
you're not allowed to. We've still got another 7 episodes before you can do that. Tough noogies.
I'm That's sorry. Fine.
Don't That's look at fine. Me, man. It's the show rules. Not. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. So in all seriousness for a second though, seriously, Bridget, you know full well Pastor Manning's whole thing. You know that we talked about people like him who just incredibly just double down on this crap, even after they make whatever assertion, and there's no way, there's positively no way that anything of what they said could possibly be true in any way, shape, or form. How the level of Pastor Manning's tirades about there is semen in the lattes, there's the gay will come through the coffee grounds and all this stuff. Besides him, for something quite like that, there really aren't too many others that I can think of that are quite as vocal and high profile like that. Now, there are a couple of others where they're a lot less low, not as high profile, like is the best way of putting it. We can get to in a couple of moments, most notably, you know, the boat guy and the banana guy. Which
I think David Icke is pretty delusional, or Icke or whatever. The guy that promotes that theory that, you know, governments run by reptilians.
Yeah.
Oh, David Icke, yes.
Yeah, Icke, okay.
Okay, this one I'm not really specifically familiar with.
He and Alex Jones got into a feud years ago, but they're both nuts.
Basically, okay. This is a guy that believes that the world and is run by an Illuminati of, like, a weird lizard people in disguise.
Yep.
Something like this Levine from Doctor Who on there, and
Somebody grew up with V.
And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're showing our age here, folks. We've got a lot of youngness.
And people buy his books, and they believe him.
There's a whole conspiracy Illuminati thing that that refers to like lizard people. Most of it is generally just some sort of really nasty anti-Semitic metaphor, but this guy actually believes it's real lizards, and believes that in photos of like celebrities and world leaders, like some weird little mark on the cameras on the photograph or something is actually like their camouflage thing going out of whack or whatever for a second. He's absolutely nuts. But there are, say that, and there are loads of people like this out there. And sometimes like brought up on Skeptics Guide to the Universe recently about, okay, some of these things are fairly like harmless eccentricities and don't affect people day to day, but then you get some of the really out there stuff, and you have to wonder like how do these people operate? How do these people like buy bread on a daily basis? You know, or function in society in any way.
Yeah, I remember them talking about that. I was listening to that just last couple of days. But there's a piece about this also I want to make sure that we handle, which is also something that came up in the Q&A from Renee. Thank you. Who's asking, would belief in the geocentric model be considered delusional for purposes of the show? I want to make sure that understanding where we're talking about, the geocentric model is a reference to the view of our solar system, or in this case, our Terran system, I guess it was how it would be looked at that point, versus the heliocentric model. The heliocentric model is what we work with currently. The view that all of the planetary objects, and I'm meaning from grains of sand all the way up to Jupiter, orbit about the central point, which is the sun, versus the geocentric model, which is the one that says that everything in the universe orbits about the Earth, geo, which is where you get the thing from, which... Would the belief in the geocentric model be considered delusional?
In this day
and age, absolutely.
And you can see that belief in in Islam over in those that practice overseas in some of the what we call third world countries like Iraq, Iran, whatever. There are some of the religious leaders saying that they're still saying that the sun revolves around the Earth, that all planets revolve around the Earth, that the Earth is the center of the universe, you know, yada, yada, yada. The stuff we've all known and learned to be false. They're still holding on to that. That is a delusion.
Tech, sorry if I can cut you off there. This is... One of the things that bugs me, and that these some of these guys like,
do I have incorrect data?
Or not a full picture. So every
okay,
so
I don't
often,
have a full picture. I'm sorry.
Yeah, every so often in the media, we get these whacked out fatwas and pronouncements and whatever from. Islamic countries, and this is like the boob quake guy who believes like breasts cause earthquakes, or like women are being adulterous if they swim in the sea based on the gendering of the word for ocean in classical Arabic or something, right?
Okay, so what you're saying is that guys, I rephrase my statement that there are some
there
still
are
holding on to it.
Yeah,
but not all.
Yeah, no, and it's, I very much doubt that these beliefs are widespread.
They are in the U.S.
Taken seriously. The geos, like, yeah, no, I mean, like, yeah, they're reported in the media, but I don't think a huge number of people actually hold these beliefs in the same way that you get flat earth fanatics throughout the world who believe that the whole fact that the earth is roughly spherical is some kind of conspiracy or illusion or whatever. And these people pop up in the media every time, but not so many people take it seriously.
I'm going to disagree with you. There's an NPR link that I can post, and it says 1 in 4 U.S. citizens. Hmm. That's 25% of the population. That's a good chunk of people.
Hold on a second. Let's clarify this. 1 in 4 people, according to the population, what?
Believe in the geocentric model.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that we had that. Wanted to make sure that we had that clarified properly.
And Chris didn't think the number was that high, but that's a good chunk of people.
I didn't think. Are there
Christians believing this?
Wow. Yeah, probably if it's in the U.S.
Yeah, this was a survey done last year, so that's scary. And these people vote.
I would, if you've got a link to that survey after I would be very interested in seeing it and also seeing how it's conducted, because I've seen various surveys on there in the past about understanding of common sort of science topics in the Western world and in the US particularly, that have given results that have scared me. Evolution is the big one.
I'm going to back Chris on this one.
But
you're really going to back Chris on this one?
Sometimes I think the way the questions have been posed or the survey's been set up can have an influence on that, so I'd really love to dig into that one further. I'm not denying that it could well be true, and I'll check those out when I'm more awake on there and come back to you on that.
I'm gonna have to back Chris up on this one because I remember in my and I'm guilty with my Islam statement. As Chris pointed out, that I was operating from a lack of knowledge, that I had only heard a partial portion of the knowledge, and it was based on fanatics, which, as many people know, that fanatics, while tend to be very loud, they sometimes tend to be the minority. Not all the time, but sometimes. And I should have remembered that, because I actually took statistics and was good at math and everything else, and they talked about surveys and things like that being taken where you've got things worded, you have questions worded one way, and then they use that wording to skew the results. Yeah. So I should have known better. I blame the alcohol that I'm consuming right now.
No, I mean, the media coverage of this is not always clear.
Here's a link to how they did the study from the organization who did it.
Yeah, I'll check that
out even better
in more detail and come back to you after the show, Bridget, because I don't think I can do it fairly now.
Yeah,
point I was more generally trying to make was that these guys are not necessarily representative of the Islamic thought in the same way that Pastor Manning and Pat Robertson are not necessarily representative of Western thought.
Yep. Now, I'll make sure that
Can I throw something in here?
Yeah, real quick, because there's a piece I want to finish this out on.
Better not be a towel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We talk about these people not being representative of Western thought or Islamic thought or Salafi thought or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, what they are doing is they are cherry picking, and they are representative of their particular mindsets.
Yeah.
And hold on. When we go further and we start to examine their cherry picking, what we discover is that there are a lot of inconsistencies. There are things that we as non-theists can attack them on, but what it boils down to is they have the ultimate responsibility for reconciling the passages that they support in the Quran or the Bible with the passages that they don't support.
Mm. Yeah, you're actually getting me right to where I was looking at taking this to finish out with, which is a simple statement that we heard that has become its own meme that we detest, not because of our lack of theistic belief, but because of our rationality. And the expression is, I've got this book. Because.
Thank you, Amish Wolverine.
Because. No, it's not just him. But in different formats, it's been bashed over the head time and time and time again. Psi 10 Brugenkate, for one, has also. And we've also gotten it from. We've gotten it from Ken Ham. We've gotten it from.
Slick.
From Matt Slick. We've gotten it from pretty much every religious leader, and I'm going to guardedly say near cult level leader. I've got this book is a stop. It is a purpose-built position to say, you can't go past this point because my book supports me. And that's as far as I want to go, even though, as Dave was just saying, there are the contradictions that say, well, no, but you didn't do the rest of your homework at this point. And this is where I want to end us with, because this is where a true delusion happens. Because you've got, inside of that book itself, contradictory pieces, which, Dave, as you just pointed out, people have got that right there, and all they need to do is do a little bit more work and read, which I'm pretty sure you'll agree, very many simply don't. But you've also got the external information, the external data, the experimentation, the testing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as Feynman has said on many an occasion, or we've quoted him, but we'll save that for another time. So the question is, you know what? Heretic
Woman, thank you,
the pictures. Yes, absolutely.
Heretic Woman, I absolutely love you for that. I really do. One of these days, I'm going to find a way to appropriately and non-sexually show that love to you.
Okay. Yeah,
I will see.
Thank impossible. You.
You're a fucking liar, Tech.
Yes.
There is no way that you're going to find a way to asexually tell her that.
Yeah. By the way, for those
I may buy her a keg.
Tell, you know? Not show.
All right. For those that are wondering, I will get that.
But I don't drink beer.
It'll be empty. You can fill it with wine.
Okay.
I will get this picture into the Facebook group. I've had it for a little bit. I've just been a little bit behind schedule with a whole bunch of stuff. I'll make sure it's in there. Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a point that you know, all delusions they're made from a situation of comfort, whereas the person with the delusion, you know, they're trying to protect their quote unquote bubble. So, you know, once if they're inside a bubble and this bubble is working for them, then they have no reason, and they may even be afraid to look outside of it. If I can come up with an analogy, imagine somebody who's living in a house and all the water coming out of the taps, they've been told that the water comes from the water gods, you know, and they've never seen outside of the house. But so they have no reason to believe anything else. But put them out in a natural environment, put them in the middle of a forest, and then they have to find water. They're going to find out soon enough where water comes from and what it is. So, yeah, like when you're talking about the Bible as a source of delusion and all that, well, you know, if you look at it through the eyes in the context of a believer, they are trying to protect their worldview, which I call a bubble, and it's not really in their interest to question that. It's not really even important for them.
Actually, by the way, what you just gave me is you just gave me the inspiration for my closing at this point, which is thank you. You trust me when I say that I think that you're gonna like Heretic Woman. You've since you came in kind of late, I want to make sure that I haven't completely glossed over you, because I mean, with like we were saying earlier, you had Barbie who.
Yes.
Was just did not know what the hell was going on, didn't read enough, didn't do our homework. So, yep. Yeah, I mean, we've got this whole, we've got the book stopgap. I mean, how do we deal with these?
It's tough because even when, I mean, you'd think, okay, she says, oh, that's not in the Bible, and we show her definitively, yes, it is in the Bible. But that's not really going to make a dent in what she thinks she believes. Like, oh, okay, well, that's... And then she's going to spend some time rationalizing why that's okay. And, you know, well, God must have had a good reason for wanting to bash babies' heads against rocks, right?
She's just confirming her own bubble.
Yeah, it's going to move to another level. So,
and if you want to change her mind, you have to give her an alternative to her bubble. That works.
Well, it makes me think of an argument I had with my mother a number of months ago where, you know, she made the mistake of asking what I'd been doing lately, and I'm like, well, let me tell you, atheist podcasting and yada
bring
yada. Yeah. I didn't own it then. Trust me, that one's coming. Trust me. But, you know.
The bottle or you?
Bugs, probably.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about yet, and you're gonna have to wait 7 episodes, trust me, this is freaking hysterical what we're talking about right now.
We're building up to
best $4 I ever spent, let me tell you. But anyway.
Finish it.
That's a building up.
Good. It's good. But I mean, you know, we got into this argument about religion and whatever, and you know, I told her the reasoning behind why it's bullshit, and a lot of things that I had said she kind of agreed with, but in the end what it boiled down to was I just need to believe this. And so nothing that I had said at that point really made a huge difference. It was just, well, I need it. And a lot of that, I think, was because, you know, my brother had passed away a number of years ago. And I think for her, she needed to cling on to that idea that, well, there is heaven and she'll get to see her son again. And I'm like, I'm trying to knock that down, not because I'm a bitch. Well, I am a bitch, but not necessarily because of that. But I see you, Fona. But because I prefer that people believe the truth and not bullshit. And she just was like, well, no, I just need to believe it. And at that point, I was like, well, there's not much I can do if you're acknowledging that what I'm saying has merit, but you're telling me flat out you're not going to believe it, then, or even acknowledge it, then what the fuck, you know?
Sorry. She doesn't have an alternative. She can't deal with it in any other way, which is why I feel so bad for, like, a quote-unquote believers. Because, well, you know, when we diss them, I don't like to, because these people, they don't have the capacity to rationalize outside of their bubble. And they have no call to either.
I feel bad for the people that do truly believe all of it. But when I look at what... But, you know, when I look at my mother, she doesn't go to church anymore. She doesn't really act like somebody that buys it. She's making a conscious choice to try to believe it because she acknowledges it makes her feel better. And I'm like, well, there's other ways that you can make yourself feel better than believing a delusion.
That's the comfort I was talking about.
Yeah, but that's what she chooses to do. And I'm like, well, what am I, you know, I can't compete with that crap, so whatever. Yep. I'm okay. Still going to argue, but...
All right, so Joey, that's where I want to bring you in at this point. She was saying that, you know, I've got this stuff. All right, you're telling me that it's wrong, but I need to believe in this stuff. You come through from the military, too. You know full well, who do you have to rely on when, you know, oh, I've got this, but I got to believe in this. I got to rely on this. This kind of belief that you got to believe in something even though it's wrong, yeah, there's a certain degree that you got to do that, but, I mean, you can't really rely on that from what you've experienced. That's for damn sure.
Basically, the only thing... I'm not going to quote The Pacific again. Go watch it a couple of times. You'll get it. But even putting the military aside, when the day is done, there is only... Really, there's only three things I think you can truly believe in. And that is... your own two hands, what you yourself are capable of, the people around you, those that you can trust.
But you can test all that.
And that life will absolutely do everything it can to screw you in any way, shape, or form, because here's the beautiful thing about life. Actually, you know what? I'm going to let you say it, you, because you gave me this quote before.
I'm not
and
quite
you know
sure.
You what I'm talking about.
I the universe. Might. Oh, it, I, yes.
I yeah, that quote. One.
The quote in question comes from Babylon 5. And oddly enough, I actually did quote it at my wife's wake and funeral, which was that, and I'm going to be paraphrasing it probably, because I'm not going to be able to quote it quite properly. It was from Marcus, who was asked about his, you know, how he felt about stuff. And Marcus basically said, as near as I can quote it, "I used to believe that everything happened for a reason. And then I thought how terrible that would be, that all the bad things that ever happened to us in our lives come because we deserve them. So now I take great comfort in the general unfeeling hostility and unfairness of the universe." Basically saying the great God Murphy is about the only God that you can rely on to actually follow through on what's going to happen.
Somebody needs to do some really bad shit to that guy, I'm just saying.
in the most simple terms, it rains on all of us. The just and unjust, the good and the evil, it rains on all of us alike. And the sun shines on all of us alike.
And that's a good spot where I'm going to pick you up at this point, Bridget. You came into this show with a couple of pieces of understanding and such, and for wanting your reasons and rationales for wanting to be on. The rain and the sun have hit all too close to home for you, for the people that are important for you. And you know the individual that I'm thinking of. You are in one of those positions where you can help make differences. And even trying to do that, it may end up being a detriment in the long play. How are you going to be able to help deal with people who don't want to listen to, "Yeah, I'm wrong"?
Well, there's not really very much that you can do. Beliefs are bulletproof. You can try gentle persuasion, but the thing about people is if you present them with hard facts, they tend to double down on their false beliefs. And there have been studies showing this.
Can I just interject something here? Because I know that Bridget will get this. Just have them listen to rushes the trees.
Okay, I haven't heard that one. I got to take notes. Hold on a second.
Okay. And what, you know, some of what I have done is tried different, you know, mediums to reach out to people. Some people respond better to spoken word than they do a blog post or, you know, an informal question and answer session. And so I have been on several different formats of podcasts and, you know, now have a blog and also, you know, post in various forums. So I'm kind of waiting for people to reach out to me. And if they seem like they're inclined, you know, then we go further, but I don't push.
All right. Dave, so for you at this point, folks, you don't want to be a dick about it. You don't want to go ahead and shove the facts down somebody's throat. But how much leeway do you think that we've got, generally speaking, as skeptics? For people who have got a vested interest in, you know, getting the facts known, to kind of chip away without using a sledgehammer, if at all possible.
I'm glad you posted, or I'm glad you presented that question to me, because my answer will surprise you.
Well, the reason why, and I want to make sure that everybody understands, when Dave first came in earlier, he did specifically mention that he had had an incident earlier, and I don't want to call it an altercation because it's not the right word for it, but you had interactions that had got you come in, and you were unhappy.
No, it was an altercation. Okay. It was a very emotional altercation, but it doesn't have anything to do with religion or theism or anything like that.
No, but I wanted to make sure that people understood. I'm specifically asking it this way for you because you had a situation where you could have gotten emotions into it and just let the lizard brain out, and the logic of whatever could easily just be swept aside, and you have that perspective right here and now still.
Okay, that's a fair point. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Thank you.
However, my overall take on it is that, and this is something that I've said before to many people, when we are talking about how to best get our message across, I am unconcerned with my opponent's viewpoint. I don't give two shits if I can convince my opponent that I'm right. At the end of the day, the people who are making the choices, the voters, are the audience. So when we're talking about the damn cat. At the end of the day, when we are talking about...
Dave, we're losing part of your transmission through your Wi-Fi.
Yep, he froze.
All right, we'll give Dave a couple of moments. We'll get back to him in a couple of moments when I see that he's freed up a little bit. Tech, I'm not quite sure where I was going to end up taking it from, so let me get you, and I'll get Dave back as quick as we can. For you, then, let me kind of give it there. How much can we shove versus nudge, do you think, as far as getting the right information to somebody?
I think it depends on their emotional maturity. For example, my son the other night relayed to me that he was scared. And what he was scared of was he had heard something on the news that could harm him. in the world. And I said to him, I said, buddy, listen, you got to understand something. This world is not a safe place. This house, your home, anybody's home, is not safe. You could die from a meteorite piercing through the roof, puncturing your body while you sleep. You have to understand that the universe as a whole is not designed. It didn't come about with the safety of our lives in mind. However it was created, whether it popped out of nothing because of how science and math has determined it can pop out versus evolution versus a creation, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are alive and that you have the ability to live it how you choose. There are people who choose to live in fear, and there are people who choose to live acknowledging the fear, but choosing to live life to the fullest, regardless of their fears. You can choose to either let people tell you what to be afraid of and how you should live a life, your life based on their own fears, or you can choose to do everything that you possibly can before the end of your life, regardless of how the end comes. Because as far as we know, you did not exist 13 to 14 billion years ago. And now you have this chance, this one shot, to do whatever it is that you want to do. Fill it with knowledge of what we currently know and what we will know, so that you can use that knowledge to do and live your life the way you want to, as long as that life doesn't harm other people in the process. And you will have lived a full, happy life. If you want to be the person who makes a name for themselves by becoming a president or a king, then you have to take those actions to become that person. If you want to live your life to become the person who creates a great technology that allows us to explore this amazing, mysterious universe of ours, then do it. But if you want to be the guy who plays video games most of his life, maybe makes a game here or there to bring pleasure to other video gamers because he's heavily into Minecraft, then do that. But do not let somebody else's fear rule your life. And you're going to find that as you grow up, there are a lot of people who are afraid. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of people of other skin colors or other religions. And you're going to have to determine to what to allow and what not allow into your life. Now, as an adult, a lot of people don't have that flexibility of mind. There's a television show that is taking place in the future. People are waking up. They're finding out that humans have evolved into horrible, horrible things. And they're trying to correct that by making a new race of human beings that were in stasis. And they're finding that the adults cannot adapt. But the children, given the truth of what's currently going on in the world in that fictional universe, are able to adapt because they have the flexibility of mind. So I think it all comes down to what age that people are presented the truth of the sum of the current level of knowledge, is my belief.
I'd like...
go ahead.
Yeah, you got a great point. But I'd like to reduce it to utter simplicity if I can. Essentially what you're saying is that each one of us has the ability to adapt on our own experience and guidance to our environment. So it comes down to a decision. Are you going to decide yourself what's good or bad, or are you going to subscribe to somebody else's point of view and let them decide everything for you, what's good and bad for you in this environment?
Right, and so, here's a prime example. My my father has, when I was growing up, he believed in a God. He believed in a creator. He didn't know what level the creator took an interest in us. He is currently identified as atheist, and the reason why I'm not speaking so loud is because I don't know who's awake, who's not, yada, yada, yada. I don't know what level my parents have communication between each other. They usually tell each other everything, but I don't know if this is something that's been relayed as the epiphany has been broken or not. My mother, on the other hand, does believe in a deity. She does believe that the deity has good intentions towards humanity as a whole, and that there free will was bestowed upon us for good or evil, that we get to choose what to do with our lives, but at the end we all answer to the Almighty for what we have done with our lives. And so they have divergent viewpoints, and they're at a stage in their life where I don't think that's really going to change anymore. Me, I try to keep my mind, especially since I'm younger than them, as flexible as possible, but I know my mind is not as flexible as my son's. So I do not impose upon my son that there is no God. I have told my son, because he has asked me, that I do not believe in one, but Grandma does. And that she is allowed to believe that because we live in a country where people with different viewpoints are encouraged. They're allowed to exist. They're allowed to have different viewpoints. But he must remember that if he uses his viewpoint to harm another human being, then he is doing harm. And there is no way to sugarcoat that harm. My grandmother, or my mother, his grandmother, does not use her belief to harm others. Therefore, I will never, ever encourage her to believe otherwise.
Okay, I'm gonna pop you right there, because what you ended off with just a moment ago is probably the best piece of it all to cap that one all off with. Dave, looks like we probably just had the Wi-Fi just derped out for you for a little bit. So you started to get into, and it just froze out. So back for you, I guess, to finish that off.
You got on mute the guy. He's got the microphone icon thingy.
Yes. I'm not even – we've gone so far with this to this point that I'm not really even sure what I was trying to discuss at the point where Wi-Fi failed.
Okay. What I was saying was how much should it just be a matter of hitting gently with a hammer to chisel something off versus using a sledgehammer to try to get a point across to whittle away someone with facts versus them just believing whatever the hell.
What we are talking about here is changing the opponent's mind. I have no expectation that I will ever be able to change my opponent's mind. But what I am mindful of is that there is an audience. The audience is the group of people that I intend to influence. I know that my opponent in a debate is never going to see my side of things. But my attacks on my opponent and my opponent's attacks on me are going to influence the audience to make their own decision. And the way that we see things going now is that audiences are more interested in logic and what is perfectly reasonable rather than a philosophy that faith cannot touch science. Well, if faith cannot touch science, then what good is faith?
Well, all they're thinking is just don't touch my bubble.
Yeah.
But if you really want to convince somebody to change their mind, anyways, my personal way is just the most hope of changing somebody else's mind is to actually demonstrate that my model works for me.
Okay.
And but once you convince them of
I
that.
Agree. Okay, Joseph, I agree with you, but I'm going to interrupt. I don't care about the opponent. I care about the audience. Because the audience is the group of people who is going to vote in the candidate that will most represent what I have to say. I don't give a shit about Mike Huckabee. I don't give a shit about Donald Trump. I give a shit about the people who are down there in the trenches, the ones who are living the life, the ones who are trying to make ends meet, who are going to view the whole election fiasco or the whole campaign fiasco and determine who is the best candidate.
I wasn't targeting anybody in particular. I was being rather general.
I know you weren't. But your comment led me to that comment.
Because
I'm going to back Dave on this one because of the simple reason that my audience, while I am on here at Sujin's invite, my true audience really is my son. And whether or not he ends up believing in a God is ultimately going to be his decision. Okay, whether he believes in a deity, a deist-based creation, a theist, or whatever. But as long as he understands that he doesn't use his beliefs to harm others, as long as he's come about his beliefs based upon his choice and not the choice of others, then I am happy for him. And that's where Dave, I think, is going. He's trying to get people to understand that they should be making their own decisions for themselves based upon their knowledge that they've gained from different sources, that they've heard both sides of the argument, or all three sides, or four sides, or five sides, depending on how many religions you study.
Hold on. I want to buttress Tech on this. I totally agree with what he said, and
I agree too. By the way,
well, I know you do, Joseph.
Okay.
The two of you agreeing with me makes me actually feel like I'm doing fatherhood the right. No, hold on. I'm being completely serious here.
Tech, shut the fuck up. Let me finish.
It makes me feel like I'm doing something right as a father.
Okay, you absolutely are. The point that I want to make is one of my close relatives, I had a conversation with him not long ago, and we were talking about the existence of God. And what he said was, and this is beyond the conversations that he and I have had, he knows that I disagree with the concept of God. And he said, I do believe that God exists. And I told him that I thought that was a premature conclusion. And that that he was basing that on the Bible. And he said, I don't agree with the Bible because the Bible is fantasy. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something beyond.
That's an interesting take.
This kid is 9 years old.
That's the same age as my son.
Okay, now hold on a minute. He's still making his bones. And I still disagree with his conclusion. The important thing to me is that he is listening to what I have to say and trying to reason it out in much the same way as the conclusion of a different nephew that there is a trapdoor in the ceiling with a padlock that only Santa has the key to. The kids are where we need to focus.
And that's a beautiful point. And believe it or not, that actually helps out where I'm ending us with.
Oh,
as I said a little while ago, Joseph basically gave me the kick.
Oh, that Fiji, to come. May I jump in? There's a couple of last brief points I wanted to hit on.
Oh yeah,
let him have it. We're over time, right? Let him have it anyway.
Just a little
bit. What could it possibly hurt?
Just a little bit. Yes.
Yeah.
My groin.
It's all about you.
No. I'm kidding. Chris.
I don't even want to go there.
We're not going
there. And this is something that we've touched on previously in the past.
It's groin.
There is no shame.
Let's wrap this.
There's no shame in being wrong on there. We've all been wrong about stuff in the past, whether it's something major or minor, and we all have some degree of illusion or delusion, whatever you call it, about something. It might be something minor. It might be about how funny your jokes are, or how attractive you are, or whatever. Or it might be many of these things are fairly harmless and just part of the sort of human condition. But there's also ones you need to look at that are more damaging, that result in, say, people not giving healthcare or not getting healthcare or giving money to people on there and getting no benefit or service from it. There's no shame in admitting you're wrong and looking at these things and in your life day to day and realizing that you've been wrong in the past, you're not going to be right about everything now, and you're going to be wrong in stuff in future. But if you don't learn, if you don't examine what you believe, what you think, then you're going to keep being wrong.
Yeah, being wrong and understanding it makes you a better person.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll use that as part of that. Like I was about to say, the spark that I got from Joseph was brilliant for me because he made several references to a bubble. And for some people, they refer to their worldview. And for me, these end up being very synonymous. They give an impression of being inside of an environment that has a very discernible structure.
That works and, for them.
Yes, and I'm using very specifically the term structure, because it has a finite area, volume, whatever terminology you want to use for this. And I have, apparently, I must be on a bit of a prop kick today for whatever reason, but I've got two very specific items. And for those of you that are listening on the audio part, I'm sorry. One is a pen. One is a screwdriver. Now, as we've heard on many an occasion, of course, the pen is mightier than the sword. And there's a reason for that expression. Because as much as the sword can be used a couple of different ways, of course, most of which are for rending something or someone, as the case may be, the pen has the added ability, even though if you use it correctly, yes, you can hurt somebody with it quite physically, but you can hurt them by writing things about them, or you can help. You can help an individual. You can help society at large by writing down information, of keeping notes, of keeping records, of amassing knowledge with that pen. It's something that you can accumulate greater and greater and greater amounts of just by, you know, keeping track. Same thing with a screwdriver. Screwdriver, yeah, you can jab that into somebody and you can hurt them with, of course, certainly. But you build with it, even if it's just a small screwdriver, little pieces, little pieces, little pieces, and you join those little pieces, and they get bigger and bigger, bigger than what you would think that you should be able to do because you did a little piece here and a little piece there. Those pieces break those bubbles. That's the big difference between people who have delusions that want to keep their delusions and those like us that find that maybe we did have a delusion and we intentionally poke at whatever that structure is to find out what's the breaking point. Is it real? Should I just make my way out? That is what makes the difference between people who want to live inside of their bubble and those of us who are skeptics who are constantly poking at the bubble. Just like with blowing bubbles when you're a kid, you poke the bubble in front of your own face, yeah, you're probably going to get something stuck in your eye, and yeah, it's probably going to sting, and it's probably going to hurt for a while. But when it's done, how much more room is there outside of that bubble? It's a lot of room. And you can go anywhere you want inside of that new room. Of course, you can stay inside of that bubble if you really want to. But then staying there too long, you're gonna suffocate. Sooner or later, you got to come outside of that bubble. And when you do, we'll be here to catch you. All you got to do is just ask. As always, everyone, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us tonight. I know that the shows have been running just a little bit beyond normal schedule, but we'll get back to trying to keep us a little bit closer to our usual. I know full well that we are not the worst tier in the world, but we're sure as hell not going to be setting any records by winning awards. But we do still think that all the perspectives that we have are worthwhile, and thank you for listening to all of them. As always, everybody on the panel, thank you very much for your time tonight. Bridget, thank you very much. You take care of yourself, hon. Have a good night. You can say thank you. You can say screw off, shoot, something. Let's make sure that we're not on Memorex at this point. Really, nothing, not a word. You're going to hang me out to dry now. That's what it is.
Does she even hear you?
No, she can. Oh, there it is. That's good enough. All right, fine. At least we know you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. Colin has his work cut out for him.
Chris, as always, thank you very much. Enjoy your morning.
I will do. Thank you. It's great to be here again.
No worries. Dave.
Chris, you are a disturbed motherfucker.
You're not supposed to talk like that for, like, how many more shows?
Seven. And Dave, really, this coming from you of all people, really? Does the term black mean anything to you?
Shut up, Dr. Pot.
I'm glad you said it, not in all seriousness, seriously, thank you not just for coming back and seriously coming back and being the first repeat performer, but especially considering everything that you went through earlier, you know, thank you for sharing, man.
I think that you have a good thing here, and I want to see you succeed, and I want to see you promote this drastically, and screw everybody else.
Hey, what about my show?
Especially that.
You know, here's a cool one. You know, you've got, if you didn't, what? You know, if you had a show that was as good as ours, you would only need one show. Oh, so yes. Go ahead and plug all of what you've got now.
Wait a second, this is a show?
Hey, you've been on it too.
Yeah. It's a delusion. We're all a figment of Fusion's imagination.
We are, of course, Beyond the Trailer Park, which is Mondays at 9:30 Eastern, too much wine, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And this week we are talking to the lovely Stephanie Guttormson from the Richard Dawkins Foundation, so that's going to be very cool. And I hear a rumor that my nephew might be showing up again. I don't know. He was like, hey, auntie, can I be on your show? Yeah, whatever. Come on over. So that could happen. That's going to be Monday night. And, of course, there's My Secular Savior and mysecularsavior.com. And the new show, which we just posted a promotional audio track to the other day, which is, of course, Atheist Apocalypse podcast, Atheist Apocalypse for those left behind on Facebook. So head over to Facebook and check out our new audio promo. You can get a taste of what you might hear on the show, and we're going to be launching next month, and we're really excited about that. And yeah, I think that's everything.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Joseph, thank you very much, and you have yourself a beautiful morning. By the way, for those that did not see it, Joseph had posted a picture on, I forget if it was Facebook or G+, you'd post a panoramic photo just this past week.
Yeah?
It was probably of his lengthy penis.
I'm fairly certain it wasn't, because there was a lot of stucco involved. There was a picture outside.
Whoa. Speaking of which.
You'll have your chance.
Speaking of which, I've got to pee. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night, Tech. Thank you very much.
Enjoy yourself.
Damn it. Can I get out the water bottle now?
I hope everything comes out all right.
Joseph, thank you very much for your time. I'll see if I can track down that photo for folks.
Well, what was it of? My street? Or,
I believe so, yes.
Okay, because I haven't had a portable telephone for 3 years now. What am I missing?
Instagram would be one if you're posting photos of panoramas.
I got a phone for the first time in 3 years, and, well, things have changed a lot.
There you go.
Yep.
Explain yourself, Dave. What's that about? Total ruse here. You know what?
It'll be fine. We'll just let it go for now. We'll come back later. Joey, thank you. It's good to have you back.
Wait, I was gone? I've been quiet, but that's because I really haven't had that moment where I usually insert myself.
Well, then.
So much for PG-13.
Okay. We've just gone from PG to NC-17.
I think this episode's probably going to get the explicit tag.
Somebody shoot heroin.
Actually, technically it already does, because of the rating systems that they use, which is somewhat BS, but anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
As I said, no problem, and I'll see you all next week.
Your own damn fault you wanted to be on. I'm going with that. Anyway, so of course, as always, everybody, thank you very much for your time, and we really, really do appreciate you guys checking us out. And to all those 95 countries that I'd mentioned before, you know, thank you guys so very much. If you'd like to, check in on the show and follow us along on the audio podcast version of it all. Take a swing on over to holycrapthevlogcast.com. You'll find the RSS feed right from over there. I know it's available in a whole bunch of other places, but truth be told, without Dallin here to remind me exactly the techie side of it all, I'm a little bit lost on it. I'll have a better write-up for you guys later. If you'd like to send an email over to us, you can send it over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com, and the voicemail line is still open. It is 859-HCTV-554. Again, 859-4288-554. Twitter is @HolyCrapTV if you want to follow us over there. That'd be wonderful. We've been seeing a whole bunch of people. The Facebook page is facebook.com/HolyCrapTheVlogcast, which we passed 50 likes just this past week. We suddenly just blew past. We had suddenly like 16 people like the page, and it's like, wow, Jesus, that 50 point, we just blew. All right, hey, celebrate. Let's open up the alcohol, man. Which, admittedly, in my particular case, it could be, it's Tuesday, open up the alcohol, man. Fine, whatever the hell. I haven't finished up my. And, of course, you can follow us on pretty much everything. You can just find us under Holy Crap the Vlogcast and pretty much everywhere that you want to find us. G+, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, it's all the same. So, thank you guys. In all real seriousness, thank you for supporting us. It really means a lot that we've been doing this and you guys have been finding something worthwhile out of it. Really. And as usual, for all of you that are out there, thank you guys so much. We'll catch up with you guys next week. And as always, I say my goodnights for all of you, and I say my goodnights for my lady, too, because even 10 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.